Ramble.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Ka-chow! Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. Today we are talking about Pixar's Cars.
Yes,
and joining us in the studio, we have the number one car stan.
Can you say that?
I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the podcast, Mr. Shane Madej.
Hey! Happy to be here. Ka-chow, 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 ka-chiga, ka-chiga. Dude, that's a deep cut. That's a Chick Hicks deep cut.
Yep.
Did we foresee this at some point when I was on for Speed Racer? Did we talk about me coming back to talk about cars?
I've always known that you're a cars fanatic.
Yeah.
You carry the flag.
All of those Slack days of Shane and Ryan just going off about cars in Quince's face. I think that's what the best part of it was.
Quinta likes cars.
No.
Quinta's on team. Well, it's just Quinta and Ryan so often disagree on things.
On everything.
That I assume because Ryan hates cars that Quinta would sort of love it to spite him. But
No.
Usually the right call to spite. I choose most of my life choices to spite Ryan.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a good way to live.
It's very fun to watch him be upset about things.
Kelsey is not here today, though. We do have a special voice memo from her. We'll play later. Shane, welcome back.
I didn't realize
that we were just bringing you back for like from one Cars movie to another.
It
also occurs to me that we spend a lot of our time on this podcast talking about motor vehicles in cinema.
Yeah.
But great, here we are.
Yeah. It did occur to me on the way over here as I was blasting the flats. I was like, we did Speed Racer here. And I was, by the way, let's just some quick Speed Racer news.
Oh,
by the time this comes out, I don't know if it'll still be up for auction, but Zach and I did very briefly discuss right now the Wachowskis are doing a charity auction and they are auctioning the Royalton Industries Segway from Speed Racer.
You can own a purple Royalton Industries Speed Racer Segway.
Oh, a fucking actual
like an
Segway.
Actual
the real
Segway.
Deal.
Yeah. And not like that bitch ass influencer 2018 shit that's just for your feet. I'm talking
handles,
touring around Europe.
Gold and purple.
Spike Lee.
The one shot that Chim Chim Segway. And Spritel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah, I remember them.
You remember them?
I can't forget.
How much do you think a Segway costs?
$200,000.
Try for the cool price of $1,500.
What?
Well, that's the opening bid. So
that's the opening bid.
That's the floor. And
but
you know
I don't think anyone's bid yet.
Though Sarah and I were looking at the description on the auction website, and it did say you have to transport it yourself, which I assume means you fly out to wherever it is and just take a nice road trip on that little purple
Segway. Well, where did they film?
Life is a highway, am I right?
Yeah, where did they film? Right. Make sure to take Route 66 there. Where do you think they filmed it? They probably filmed it in like Vancouver
Well,
or something.
It's right now in the Wachowskis
estate,
so I feel like it's got to be here.
I guess I was assuming like London. I guess the Wachowskis film in Australia sometimes, right?
I am not transporting a fucking Segway overseas.
A big crate.
Absolutely not.
I also, what's stopping me is I don't know where I would put it.
I guess some sort of pedestal.
Yeah.
But it's a big thing. I mean, there's also, they were auctioning off Channing Tatum's dog ears from Jupiter Ascending.
Oh,
and
ooh.
When I got there, the bid was at $225 and I signed up because I'm like, yeah, that's money well spent.
Sure.
Yeah. And by the time I got there, it had already gone up to $300. So I'm like, I'm priced out.
Yeah.
For dog ears?
Well, if you don't recall, in Jupiter Ascending, Channing Tatum is a half human, half wolf. Yeah. So he has dog. Anyway, we're here to talk about cars.
Cars!
Yeah.
Shane, I think the people listening, okay, let's just get this out of the way. Because Cars is kind of, for a long time, was the redheaded stepchild of the Pixar world.
I don't understand how or why.
I think it still is.
Yeah, it's considered the lesser movie
it's
made fun of. And so you see that criticism and you say nay.
I say nay. you know, I'm not one to truck in hot takes.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to stir the pot. One thing that has got me a lot of flack over the years,
revving the people's engines, so to speak,
is that I do legitimately think that Cars is a better movie than Up. Like, and I'm not, and people are like, you're just saying that to you know, get people angry.
I think that Up is good in the first, like, the first act is like what people really scream about.
People remember the first 10 minutes.
People aren't talking about the ending of Up. They're not thinking about the ending of Up.
The last half of Up is kind of just like
planes.
Shane, I am so glad you said that. Okay, and I'm not ready to fully come onto your team, but I think, okay, I'm saying this, I'm bringing out the hot takes. I think Up is one of the more overrated movies. It has a perfect opening.
Yeah.
But the climax is a mess.
It's sure.
I'll also acknowledge that the opening montage of Up is a beautiful thing, but I'd like to go one step further and say that I think the opening of Cars is better. Because holy shit,
it's
incredible.
I will say, all right, now you're talking crazy.
I know I am. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. I know.
It's hilarious, but like, I do think that the opening of Cars is so underrated.
It's so good.
So fucking good. There's no reason for there to be direction behind a fucking Chevron commercial. I feel like the opening of this paid homage to a lot of like just racing movies in general. There was a Days of Thunder nod to it. Oh, like another one, I guess.
I'll put a quick pin in the opening and then let's come right back to it.
I want to talk about my history with this real quick.
Yeah.
Cars came out 2006. What was it on the heels of Toy Story 2?
It was post Toy Story 2, post Monsters
Inc. Post Incredibles, post Monsters Inc. I think Pixar is still on a tear at this point.
Yeah.
I really think, I think Up is the first Pixar movie where I was like, I think they're kind of losing their fastball.
Just going to drag
and
Up through the mud.
I know I'm not winning any favors here with the listening audience, and that's okay. I respect people's opinions. I know Up is beloved. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you look at that run of Pixar, so many people are like, Cars is a bad movie. Look, it's a mar on the Pixar reputation. No, it's not. It's part of their fucking streak.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
I will say that this is the first movie where I was just like, oh, you guys were trying to sell toys.
For sure.
Toys. You're trying to sell toys.
Well, they gotta make a buck, you know. Yeah,
and it's literally keeping them afloat at this point. Yeah. So show some fucking respect.
Have some respect. You want your other Pixar films, you gotta thank
Cars.
McQueen. Your knees and thank Mater.
Yeah, thank McQueen and the Rusty's gang.
I would say I don't share the full love that you have. And when I remembered Cars, I certainly shared the popular opinion. And when I dove back in last night,
I found there
was a lot to love.
We're
going to dive into all of it real quick. I'll give you a quick synopsis.
Yeah.
If you know what it is. Lightning McQueen is the hotshot rookie in the game. He's got the title match for the Piston Cup, a three-way race. And on the way to California, he gets lost on Route 66 and finds his way to Radiator Springs, where, through a bunch of wacky mishaps, he's held prisoner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you got it.
And he has to spend the time repairing the roads. But you know what? While he's there, he might learn a little something about himself.
Right? Yeah.
This is Cars.
That's it. That is Cars.
Beautiful. And along the way, he may find out that life is a highway.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the opening.
Yeah.
It's exhilarating.
Yes.
You open with black and you hear Owen Wilson doing his thing.
Yeah.
And he's talking and then you get then back to black. And then Cars.
It's like, I am speed. I'm quicker than quick. Blah, blah, blah.
The opening race is freaking phenomenal. It's among one of the more exhilarating races ever put to the silver screen.
It's the most exhilarating that Sheryl Crow has ever been.
Sheryl Crow is the backdrop to that?
Yeah, the song called Real Gone.
I'm not a Crow.
You're here to do deep cuts. We're not on
the
your
music
level
of this film. All due respect to Mr. Giacchino and the Newmans.
Yeah.
I think that's the best soundtrack in the Pixar repertoire.
Damn.
Wow. Are you a Rascal Flatts fan?
that one song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life I don't know what else they do, but I was listening to that on the way here. I was driving up the 5, one of the most exciting highways you can drive up, going 35 miles an hour. And I haven't listened to the soundtrack in a real long time. But that Rascal Flatts song just reaches a crescendo where there's like, I don't know how many, it sounds like there's like 15 people in the band.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people there are.
Probably 22.
They're all doing different things by the end. One of them's going like, yeah. One's saying, gimme, 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 gimme. One's giving some oohs. It's good. It's maniacal. It's really an incredible soundtrack, but the Sheryl Crow opening track, Real Gone, I'm American made, but I love Chevrolet. My mama taught me right from wrong. I was born in the South.
I truly just drowned that out because I was just watching
Race. You know what? Listen to it.
Yeah.
On your way home.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Put it on. You're feeling it.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got goosebumps. A little bit. Just singing it myself.
No, he actually does have goosebumps. I can see them on his own.
I'm just so like, the joy that it gives you makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to talk. I just want to listen because it's a beautiful thing.
I just think, go ahead.
I do think that the movie already, like from the beginning, it sets up such a simple story. It's like, okay, I mean, the announcers say who Lightning McQueen is and blah, blah, blah. He's a rookie. He's like, all right, he's hot-headed. He's going to learn a lesson.
He's going to become. He's the Michael Jordan of racing. He thinks that he's a one-man show.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Everything else is just filled with like pitter patter. We already know the story. I don't give a shit about anything else. I just want to see this person or this being learn a lesson in car related ways.
Yeah, he's a very nasty man when the film opens. They're interviewing him about his like, you know, his success. And he's like, it's all me, baby. I don't remember what he says.
He says, I don't need a team.
And his team is standing around him.
Yeah. Filling up his tires or like changing his tires or some shit like that.
He's kind of a doucher.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
There are so many deep cut car references.
Yeah, you're a big car guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You always have been. And lately I've seen you out there on the gram.
Yeah.
You're in the driver's seat, baby.
I'm in the driver's seat.
What are you
man.
Doing out there?
I'm vrooming, man.
He's got his hand on the joystick.
I'm being safe. I got
number
a cage.
One,
I've
safety.
Got a harness, all that stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But as a car guy,
yes.
What are you seeing out there? Because my car knowledge extends to the Bronco 2 that I owned in high school
Beautiful.
That my parents passed down to me.
Oh my God.
And now my current Subaru Forester.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But so I'm not seeing any Subaru Foresters in this film.
No.
But you as Maybe a big car guy, what are you picking up in this thing?
So there are so many like small racing things in general, like just off of, from the opening.
Yeah.
The fact that there's rubber like slowly getting on their faces as the race goes on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck, that's sick as hell. Because what happens is as the tires degrade, as you're driving, the rubber from the face of the tire literally melts off. Whoa. And it'll shoot off and stick to the next thing that's there. Most of the time, it's another car. Huh. So it just sticks on the face of it. So if you like look really closely as the race goes on throughout the anytime they're racing or anytime they're...
that's cool.
On the track. Yeah, just...
They do their homework.
There's a lot of love and attention to detail in this movie. And you can tell that like the people that made this film love racing. They love cars. They love Route 66 and Americana and all that. There's a lot of passion.
Yeah, and I don't even... Like I said, I don't think I've watched an entire like NASCAR race in my entire life.
Sure haven't.
Oh, you shouldn't.
I think something that always... struck me as like I went on a lot of road trips as a kid. My family, we were big road trippers.
Yeah.
So there is something very nostalgic to it. And I think it does capture like there's like the romanticized version of a road trip, but there's also like, I don't know. There's just like there's a shot when he first gets out on the highway where it's obviously it's like a beautiful Pixar shot, but it's kind of just like an unsexy shot of a highway. Before he gets, you know.
I also think that this is the first Pixar movie where they were just like, you know what? Let's just do beautiful shots.
Yeah.
There's a lot of there's a lot of shots in this movie.
There's a lot of fucking shots. Like there's I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the first time Doc drifts on the dirt.
Oh yeah.
Woo! And it's just like that slow-mo with like the dust being picked up. He's goosebumps again. With this.
For those at home, I want you to know that the climax of this film involves Lightning McQueen learning to Tokyo drift.
Yeah.
And it's fucking
riveting. It makes you emotional. That's all I'm saying.
And you see it through Doc's point of view.
Yeah.
You see him just staring at that boy drifting through the dust.
And he's just like, I taught him that. I did that. It's so nice to be back to where I belong. Yeah. And it's anyway,
you're talking me into not just liking this movie, but loving it.
It's fantastic.
It's also like, you know, the story in a broad sense, I think, is just, you know, it's a very simple story.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's something that works for those. Yeah. It's not like it's not breaking any ground in terms of like narrative.
No, it's pure execution.
Yeah.
Like you don't need much. You're already watching cars talk to each other.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, you're already, the suspended disbelief is already there. I don't need a real story behind that. At that point, it's a hat on a hat. That's why like the second and third one are like, you know, we're not going to get into it.
We will someday.
We will someday.
The way we're sitting right now with Zach across from us and me and Garrick on the couch just effusing our love for that, I feel like we're pitching Cars to a Pixar executive back in 2003.
Yeah. And we're nailing it. It's going to change the world, man. Yeah. I'll take us another place and say that not only is it beautiful, Mater is hilarious.
Mater's hilarious.
I'll one up you and say the entire movie's very funny.
It's funny. Yeah.
Every character is very funny. Yeah. All the jokes are funny.
All of the romantic chemistry was so like weirdly nice.
You want those cars to kiss?
Yeah.
Oh, I want those cars to do a lot more than kiss.
Yeah.
I wrote down some moments that did really make me laugh. There's one where they go, he won 3 Piston Cups, and Mater spits out his drink and goes, he did what in the cup? And like, that's just good, that's simple comedy.
There's one when they come out of the traffic court, hilarious pun, and then Mater is just, he gives his, like, what his sentence is going to be, blah, 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 you have to fix the road. And then Mater comes up to Lightning McQueen, he's just like, hey, I know this is a bad time, but you owe me $32,000 because he represented him. Yeah.
Every Mater line is a zinger. They have him hooked up.
Yeah.
They have Lightning McQueen hooked up to this tar machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he takes his shackles off, or they're about to hook him up.
Yeah.
Take his shackles off, and he goes,
yeah,
zips away, and there's this long pause where Mater realizes he fucked up. Yeah. And Mater just goes, maybe I should have hooked him up to Bessie and then taken the handcuffs off. And it's just like... Fuck, he's funny.
And he's funny.
He was so annoying in my memory.
No, he's hilarious.
That's wrong of you.
That's a comedian.
That's Larry the Cable Guy.
Timing. Yeah.
You put some respect on it. Because I guess the whole like Larry the Cable Guy, Jeff Foxworthy branch of comedy, you might be a redneck. This is base shit.
It's just not you.
Lowest common denominator.
Nobody needs it.
But I was wrong. They're hilarious.
They're great.
But he's also doing something different there. You know, it's not, It's not quite as, it's clearly not as pandering. He does get one of his,
he gets a get her done, and he also gives,
and I'm pretty sure this is one of his catchphrases, sort of, that's funny, I don't care who you are.
You know?
Oh my God.
God, that's good.
Like, are we just going through the cast of like everybody in
I mean, we're not even talking about the rest of it. It's we're not even talking about
the cast. Is fucking
stacked.
Fucking Luigi and what's his name? Not Fuego.
Fettuccine.
Luigi and Guido.
Oh, Guido.
Oh my fucking God. They're like, they kill me every time they're on.
I know
on
Tony
screen.
Shalhoub plays Shalhoub. One of them. Yeah. The great Shalhoub.
It's so, George Carlin's in there.
Yeah.
Got the great Carlin. Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. Paul Newman. That's got to be one of his last credits, yeah. right?
I think it is his final role.
Oh, that's devastating beautiful. For him. But that's I mean, beautiful. No, in a way, no, it's not.
I think that's the way that you go out because he's known for Cars and all of that stuff.
He love Cars. You got to know you probably loved this film. And I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure they do work his voice into Cars 3.
Yeah, they use re-recordings of it.
Yeah, and it's beautiful because Cars 3 is a lovely tribute to him.
You got Bonnie Hunt. You obviously got John Goodman. Michael Keaton's there for a second.
Keaton is Chick Hicks. Rotten hell, Chick Hicks.
It is stacked.
Yeah. But in this first third of the film, though, everything up to him landing in Radiator Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the pacing of this whole film is beautiful, but that first whole run in particular is just like kinetic. Like, it's just beautiful.
There isn't a scene in the movie that I would take out.
No.
Wow. There aren't any easy lifts or anything like that. Everything leads to the next scene.
Even those wonderful scenes with Richard Kind and his wife as like the...
Oh, yeah.
The wayward minivans.
I'm not lost.
Yeah.
I mean, we just forget and take for granted how good Pixar is and was at storytelling. And it's because they were able to make and remake and remake and remake their script so many times. And they worked on it collaboratively. Yeah. I'm obsessed with anything Pixar.
Yeah.
And it's so like the way that they do it, I don't know why everyone in the industry hasn't just taken their model.
Yeah.
So we talked about this movie is funny.
Yeah.
It's also dirty.
So dirty.
You get in the first scene these two Lightning McQueen fangirls who flash their boobs.
Yeah.
They flash their headlights, but it's flashing and Lightning McQueen goes, ka-chow. Yeah. Like he likes it.
He's like looking at it. There's signs with his number.
Yeah.
I'm also gonna say that this is maybe the horniest Pixar movie.
Yeah. Well, it's got Lasseter in it, so I mean he directed it.
I thought we were gonna get through this episode without talking about it. It's gotta be said.
It's gotta be said.
Goddamn. But like Lightning McQueen is purely motivated by wanting to fuck.
Yeah.
He has these fantasy sequences of these two twins. So he has the twins. Then he has these like golden cars kissing up on him in his Hollywood mansion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then he has when he first sees Bonnie Hunt's character, the Porsche. Mm-hmm.
Sally,
thank you. He also is like, hey, baby, let me take you out to dinner. Then later he notices that she's got a little tramp stamp. There's just so
much. Tramp stamp, it feels really of its era.
Yes. You know? Yes, it does.
Even the term is just so
I feel
like
weird saying it, and I don't know that I should.
Lower back tattoo.
Thank you.
Yeah, the fact
if you
want
to get a tattoo on your lower back, more power to you, especially if it's a little McQueen or something.
Tribal.
a little ka-chow.
It is tribal. It's a tribal it's one, a tribal too. It's very thorny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for her, you know?
There's also a side character in the town, and I want to talk about the supporting cast later, but one who her entire personality is that she's horny for Ramon.
Oh, yeah.
That's his wife.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, well, she's letting everybody know. Yeah, then you know what? It's sanctioned.
They've got a very healthy sexual automotive relationship.
Just because you're married doesn't mean you need to constantly be like, look how hot he is.
Yeah, but the widow of the town's creator...
Yeah.
Her whole job is to smack butts.
Yeah.
Which is also hilarious.
Yeah.
And
I love
Lassiter-ish.
That they worked a widow into this film.
I'm sorry. He's such a fucking creep.
That man loves three things: Hawaiian shirts, cars, and sexual harassment.
Yeah. Bad man. Bad man. This was his passion project.
Yeah, I feel like.
And unfortunately, I love it.
there is... So, this town is probably the most ethnically diverse small town in America,
yeah.
But also it was populated purely with caricatures.
Yes.
And it's, so you've got the hippie and the army man.
Yep.
You've got the sassy black woman.
Yep.
You've got the...
It's a diner owner. Always a diner owner.
Mm-hmm.
Every black woman on television or movies or film is a diner owner for no reason at all. And in that exact getup of like the light blue...
Yeah.
With like the white,
like the white collar
sort and of. The white belt. And it's just like, all right.
That's Flo, right? I don't know all the peripheral characters' names.
I don't know her
but
name.
But I'm basing this on my time spent in Radiator Springs at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Flo's V8 Cafe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great place to grab breakfast when you're hitting the parks.
Okay.
Watch the sunrise over Radiator Springs. I mean, this is a whole other section. I mean, clearly one of the best... lands, you know, I'm not going to go all Bergara about this, be like, let's talk about Disneyland. But it's a beautiful fucking place, yeah. Radiator Springs.
One of my more favorite rides, too.
Incredible.
It's just
ride.
Delightful.
Have you guys been there at sunset?
I've been on the ride at sunset.
What happens at sunset in Radiator Springs?
Days in Radiator
Springs? No. Well, in a way it does, because clearly you guys don't know about this. At nighttime, I don't know if it's at like the, you know, the forecasted exact moment of sunset at the day, or if it's just sometime at dusk, all the speakers start playing Life Could Be a Dream, mm-hmm. which if you don't know that one on the soundtrack, it's the very, I think it's probably from like the 40s or 50s. When it's the Life Could Be a Dream.
Yeah, it's when the neon comes on.
And all the neon starts to turn on in Radiator Springs.
Oh, that's
again,
beautiful.
I have more goosebumps thinking about
that
it.
That was another like moment that was just beautiful. So beautifully shot.
Another banger on that soundtrack.
Oh my God.
It's really, it's like, it's, you should consider it a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Like if you reach, like if you get to like age 97 and you're like, oh, I feel it coming. I feel his bony fingers tapping me on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And you look at your list and you realize, I haven't gone to Radiator Springs.
For sunset.
Call an Uber. Get your frail body into that thing and get down to California Adventure or whatever the hell they call it. Go see those lights come on.
Yeah.
And then die.
Oh, and then die there.
Die at Radiator Springs.
They won't let you officially die there.
I'm going to guess.
They'll keep you alive until they dump you out the park.
That's
and then,
right.
Yeah. Sign your birth certificate outside.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the moment where Ramon shows Richard Kind and his wife his butthole?
Oh, because he has like a tattoo there.
Oh, his little,
He lifts his car. He's like, we can do all these different paint jobs.
Yeah.
You want this one? And he lifts his rear end and shows him the undercarriage. It's probably like a taint tattoo.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is going on?
He has something on his differential, which is like the little thing that sends power to the rear wheels. But It's like a orb looking thing, and I believe those are testicles.
Okay,
that is more.
They can
testicular.
Get away with a lot because cars aren't people.
No,
but you just sort of have to do the work to imagine what
it could be
because it's anatomy they're working with.
Yeah, because there's another moment where Doc is working on the police chief. And he says one of my favorite lines.
What does he say?
Where he goes in.
He's doing like surgery or
something. Yeah, he's doing like a checkup. Lightning McQueen goes in. He gets like an upshot of the police's undercarriage. And the police officer says, "You get a good peek, city boy." And it's so fucking funny to me. Because he comes in, he's like, oh, and then he's so delighted that he sees his butthole or testicles or whatever.
I'm glad that we are at this part of the podcast because I want to talk about the world. I want to talk about the biology.
The biology.
It is deeply confusing.
There has to be like a Reddit thing about the biology of cars.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorites is there is a Pixar, the Pixar unifying theory that basically makes every movie one shared universe. Do you know about this, Shane?
I think so. And I think they posit that it's like the deep future or something, right?
That actually A Bug's Life takes place after WALL-E, I believe, as the world is repopulating and the bugs turn into humanoid cars. I believe that is the theory, and that they had that the cars are like have these hard bug like exoskeletons.
Well, there are the little beetle cars.
There are beetle cars, but they've inhabited a world left over by humans. So it's like the evolution, and they're taking over the leftover human infrastructure and evolving to fit it, which is
hilarious, you know,
wild,
and demented.
I'm all for people having fun with it, but I just like to take it at face value and imagine a beautiful, beautiful world full of cars and no people.
So there's one moment where Lightning McQueen, Richard Kind and his wife, so there's two cars that come to town and they're like, we're lost.
I like the idea. Let's just call him Richard Kind. We don't need to. I don't know if his character has a name, but Richard
it's
Kind,
Richard
and, his
Kind
wife.
Richard and his wife coming to town.
Yeah.
And Lightning scares them.
Yeah.
And she goes,
yeah,
where she locks her doors.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
A lot to think about, isn't it?
What is going on there?
Yeah.
Because I my mind goes to dark places.
Sure. Oh.
And is she protecting herself? But like, what does it mean to lock your door? What does it mean to open a car door in this world?
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the things that I love about the franchise as a whole is how much they have to bend over backwards to cater this world to a car only existence. A lot of people seem to get hung up on this. Like, it seems to be like a lot of times
I'm a little hung.
I'm sure when you guys talk about this film, you've heard people, they're out there, they're being like, yeah, but what's going on with that world? I'm like, the world is all cars. There are no people. That's what's going on with it.
It
buy
doesn't
in.
Matter. You're asking too many questions.
And just have a good time with it.
It's
because
all car jokes.
In the in the second movie is where they really start flirting with bigger vehicles. There might be some in
this has helicopters, airplanes.
Yeah, the second one has a big boat in the beginning, but there's cars on the boat. So then you start to think like, are the cars moving through that boat's body? Like, are they in his body?
Well, there's a truck.
There's a truck with cars in it. What's going on there? Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Well, is the trailer his pants? What is it?
The trailer is pants.
Detached. So it's just like, it's not a part of the Mack.
And if anyone has issues with this, I'd invite you to do some quick Google searches because there's some really lovely fan art depicting like the biology of
which is hilarious.
There's a cross section showing like a sort of Cronenbergian anatomy of the inside of a car, but there's also one that's a lot more involved showing the sexual reproduction of cars.
I would like to see that
the gestation of how they give birth. And I haven't spent a lot of time looking at it, but I've definitely looked at it more than once, you know.
There is, okay, we talked about the beautiful shots of America as we're like the road trip. And there's a shot of a field of produce, of like, I don't know if it's wheat or corn. Who's eating that?
Cars.
Cars are eating food?
Yeah, which I don't know in the first movie if they ever eat food. They're always
refuel
gasoline, obviously.
And, they drink oil through their mouths.
Yeah, because there's that part where he's like trying to get some in his mouth. In the second one, though, Mater eats, he thinks it's guacamole, I think.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's wasabi.
That implies
they're making
the existence of sushi, which implies the
fish.
Little car fish, which means that they can eat the car. Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
It's
and I
a
like
lot.
That.
And the more that it flirts with these ideas, the more that my brain fully breaks. I have something to read that I wrote. This is me.
Okay.
This was, okay. Yeah. So this universe has an American flag
in it.
Okay? So there is a part where Sarge, he raises the American flag, and then his neighbor is playing rock and roll. It's Jimi Hendrix. And he says, respect the classics, man.
Yeah.
So now, okay, in this 3-second clip, we have an American flag, we have Jimi Hendrix, which means that we are in a full multiverse, right?
Yep.
So in that moment, this is our American flag. This is not a car's American flag.
Yeah.
That we live in a world in which there was a cars Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yes.
Yeah, we agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was also,
I don't see the problem here,
a cars 60s drugs and sexual revolution.
Well, yes, clearly absolutely. We have the George Carlin character.
Uh-huh. Which also implies that in between that, there was a cars civil war, which means there was a cars confederacy, which means there was cars slavery, which, oh my God,
yeah,
cars reenacted the entirety of human history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, but that also implies there's Carr's LSD. He did too many drugs.
Yeah.
She was an attorney in L.A., which means that there's a Carr's prison industrial complex.
That's right. Probably.
Yeah.
You're not bothered by this at all.
No.
Well, it's fun to think about. It's a good thought exercise. Yeah.
It's fucking me up.
It's fantastic. I think that the fact that you're thinking about it this much means that it is probably the most thought-provoking Pixar movie to exist.
I mean, certainly it's leaving you with a lot to think about.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when you think of something like Toy Story, all toys are alive. Everywhere they go, all the toys are alive. Mm-hmm. They're talking to antique toys in Toy Story 4.
Yep.
They've always been alive.
To toys have always
been alive.
People
have been calling toys. So that means that man itself is a creator and can create life.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't think about it.
It's just okay.
Watch the movie.
Don't think about it or...
Think about it.
Or have fun with it and think about it a lot.
I think that I'm prescribing to this. I said that it was the future. I think that it has to be a multiverse. I think we're in an everything everywhere all at once situation.
Yeah.
Because
it makes more sense in a multiverse.
Did you guys stick around through the credits?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Because you have the cars going to the movie theater, going to the drive-in.
Yeah.
And so you get to see Toy Car Story.
Mm-hmm. And
Toy Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
So in this universe, they also have car versions of toys.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a multiverse.
Yeah,
it's got to be a multiverse.
They honestly should reboot all those films, but do the Cars version of them. You know, I'm sure. Monsters, Cars, Inc. Monster Trucks, Inc.
That would be smarter.
Yeah.
I love hearing John Ratzenberger's voice.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking
Every fucking time I hear it, I'm just like, yes, I know I'm in a Pixar movie. I know that I'm home. It just feels
this
good.
It was like, and granted, Pixar went on to do a lot of great things. This is pre-WALL-E. This is pre a lot of other stuff. But I mean, it was
pre-Ratatouille?
This was the year before Ratatouille. Because this was 2006.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
But if you love cars, I mean, this is still like the Halcyon days for me. Like I think I saw it in theaters like three or four times, because at that point Pixar was just like on fire. And I think I was primed to love it. I was like, it's a Pixar movie. Of course it's going to be good.
Also, because of the public perception of this movie, with Ratatouille coming out right after, I feel like Ratatouille was overlooked for a long time.
I feel like people are now starting to come back around to Ratatouille and WALL-E, which is probably the best one that they've done.
Yeah, yeah, WALL-E was always my favorite.
Yeah.
But if I said right now that Ratatouille could make a claim for the throne as the best, would you argue?
Because I like food now. I think it's fucking beautiful. I think it's great.
We did a top five episode of it on Watcher, and I think Ratatouille was my number one.
Yeah, wow. It's such an impossible thing to rank Pixar.
It's like, really rough.
And whenever I rank Pixar, then I remember that Toy Story exists.
Yeah,
you're not like,
yeah.
Oh,
and
fuck,
Toy Story 3 exists.
What do I do? Oh God, I just don't even count them. They just don't even feel fair.
I remember there was a year, I think at the Oscars, where Woody and Buzz presented an award.
Yeah.
And I was in my little baby seat losing my fucking mind. Just like, oh yeah, we got fucking Woody and Buzz. Look, they are real. And I would go and like look at my toys or whatever.
You are a toy.
Yeah.
So good. Did you guys, okay, I asked about the credits. Did you stick around for the post credit?
No.
I must have, because I saw it in theaters three times and I I definitely did.
Because when I say that, like, okay, I told you that the American flag broke my brain.
Yeah.
No, this broke my brain. And I need you to help me figure out what the fuck is going on. We've talked a lot about Richard Kind in this podcast, yeah. which yeah, is exciting yeah. for me.
I was going to say, it's a Richard Kind thing at the end.
So you
still,
have
right?
the family, the couple oh, that wouldn't yes. ask for directions. Yeah. They're still lost.
Yeah.
But then you have a little Volkswagen Beetle fly. In this yeah. universe, the bugs are also little cars. Uh-huh. And it goes, and it knocks into the glass of the camera
yeah.
that is filming the movie. And it looks at us, the audience, and notices that it's being watched yeah. and goes, huh? And it has a little smudge on the glass of the screen. And then it flies away. The camera
yeah.
that filmed this movie exists.
Yeah. As of
it, what?
No, that was a motif from the beginning.
What?
When they were trying to see who won the race. And I guess the safety people were overlooking and the referees were looking at the footage to see who actually won. And then the cops saw that the camera was looking and was just like, hey, close,
oh,
blah,
you're
blah, blah.
Right.
Push them out of the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenes where it's just from a POV perspective and does like shaky cam shit. And it's just like, why is this in here? It doesn't make any sense.
I think it
that
works.
Scene is great. That scene is great for like acknowledging the fact that the camera exists in the world. But it's just, again, it's Pixar doing more than it needs to. And it's fantastic.
I think all that does make sense in the race stuff because it's like, it's fans clamoring. You know, there's yeah. a lot of people around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of news coverage. So they're just giving you like the,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It feels
but
like that
I
too.
I can't speak to the end.
But to have a camera in the middle of the desert is to say that this is... We sent a film crew into the Cars universe,
yeah.
and these are actor cars within yeah. the universe.
Yeah, I would
of
love
Cars.
To see sort of the Living in Oblivion take of the behind the scenes making of Cars, where a car film crew,
like if somebody was, if there was like a documentarian following Lightning McQueen,
I would
the
fucking,
whole time,
and Lightning does, like, McQueen is an actor, and that means that the guy, like Lightning McQueen, is played by Douglas Fullbody, and
right.
he's just a
yeah.
car. Actor
would love that
yeah.
and he has different roles
because there's I wouldn't say he was an actor. I would say he's an actual like race car driver or race car that had a documentary crew behind
this
him.
This is not a documentary, Garrick,
because in Radiator Springs there is another shot of like a POV type of thing when the neon comes on and they're riding down the road for the first time. And it's just like it's like on the back of one of the car of Ramon.
Interesting.
And it just looks really cool. I'm sorry.
I mean, that sounds like a cool shot.
Yeah.
I think I've seen people float the theory that Cars 2 is a in-universe Cars film that is like
it's putting, like the movie that he
putting
was,
McQueen in a film since yeah. he's so famous. They're like. He's in a movie now. And I don't
and
know.
Starring his friend Mater.
I don't think they ever lend any credence to that in like Cars 3 and are like, remember that movie he was in?
It's a good way to write it off though.
It would be good. Because they do. Cars 3 does totally ignore Cars 2 as far as I remember.
I'm sorry to only ask questions, but again,
yeah,
there are
go
a lot
ahead.
Of
There's
moments
a lot of that, questions about this film.
There was another moment where they go to this hotel that had, you know,
the Cozy Cone.
The one that had shut down.
Oh,
and they have this beautiful
the
view.
Wheel well.
And she makes, as far as I recall, this is the only time these words are uttered in the film, where she goes, "This used to be the most popular stop on the Mother Road."
Mother Road. That sounds very Avatar.
What? The flying fuck
yeah.
is the Mother Road. Because they refer to Route 66. That's its own thing.
That sounds religious.
I don't know what that is.
The Mother Road. And it's the only line that I can recall.
Wow, I never,
and I rewinded.
Yeah.
And I said, what the hell? Does that mean that
is there like lore about this?
Yeah,
that,
I'm
that,
looking up
that
what
it
a
gives
Mother
birth,
Road.
That the road gives life. That life is a highway?
I mean, it's life.
I mean,
oh Route 66 is nicknamed
it's called
the Mother Road.
Oh, boo.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would love if there was some sort of in-universe religion.
Religious cult. Yeah. How do you think Jesus died in the Cars universe?
He was probably...
You can't really crucify a car.
Oh, my God.
Did they what put nails he? Through his tire and it deflated?
Of course. What do you mean? What are we talking about? Of course they went through his tires.
Yeah,
their
I guess
hands.
So. Like spike strips.
Yeah, I think he was like on.
Apologies to our.
Yeah, apologies to someone, but not me.
Yeah, he's probably on like a flatbed or something like that, or like whatever they use to jack the cars up.
So, hey, speaking of the mother, because I did watch the beginning of this. I didn't watch the whole movie for this, but neat little detail at the beginning.
If I'm sorry, just really quick.
Yeah, no, go.
If Ramon had a paint job of like, instead of a cross, it was whatever they crucified.
Car, it was like Jesus an axle.
It's like an axle or something like that.
His wheels.
Or, yeah, just like a flatbed or something, or a jack or something like that. That would be
so funny.
So funny. Anyway, I'm sorry, Shane.
No, I think that was good to address.
Yeah.
My detail isn't as exciting, but I did get excited noticing that at the beginning when he is on the highway, the first time they show it, you can see the mother road right next to it.
Yeah.
Not traveled. Mm. Everyone's on the highway. They're not using the mother road.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever driven on Route 66?
I'm not sure.
I've played it on Overwatch. That's about it.
It's beautiful. I've done the drive from Chicago to LA like three different times.
Yeah.
And I kind of always take a different.
Did you stop in Radiator Springs?
Up here I did. I actually did stop at some crazy, like somewhere like in Utah, some rest stop somewhere that had like a knockoff Cars like statue up that was like a weird Lightning McQueen, but not quite. But it was clearly trying to be Lightning McQueen, but skirting any copyright.
Yeah. What would it take for you to get a Lightning McQueen tattoo?
Like just a Kachow or a Kachiga.
If I were going to get a tattoo, sure, I'd consider it.
Ankle McQueen.
I've never truly considered tattoos because I think at some point one of the Kardashians said, "Why would you put a bumper sticker on a Bentley?" That's my sort of ethos when it comes to that. I wonder what I would put with a McQueen.
Just ka-chow all the way down your forearm.
Maybe a ka-chow. Yeah. A ka-chow would be nice.
You know, actually, that's a gripe I have with this film. I think of this, it should be littered with ka-chows, top to bottom. And in fact, I think that the Thunder guy, what was the knockoff ka-chow?
Kachiga.
Chick Hicks is his name.
Chick Hicks?
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
There are far more ka-chigas than there are ka-chows.
Yeah, that's right.
He says something like, he says like ka-chiga, and then he's like, here comes the thunder. And then McQueen says something like, well, you know what comes after the thunder? He says, you know what comes before thunder? The lightning, ka-chow, ka-chow. Yeah. And then the scene kind of keeps going, but you hear Chick Hicks like, he's like yelling at his team. He's like, nobody told me about the thunder thing. He's like really pissed off at his people.
Because he's stupid. He's stupid. He doesn't know about lightning and thunder.
I would love a Chick Hicks spinoff, though.
Yeah.
Like I said, they don't give them to Keaton in the other films, and I'm gonna guess Keaton was like, "All right, I'm good."
Yeah, because I gotta go do Black Swan.
Yeah, it is
Black Swan. Birdman.
Birdman.
Same, it is funny when McQueen when he has the dream about the big of what is that a combine
tractor something, but yeah,
the big tractor.
Yeah,
he has a dream about it chasing him on the racetrack. If you watch in the background, Chick Hicks just gets obliterated by that thing.
Really?
He gets murdered.
Wow.
He gets sucked into its claws and he explodes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Because I hate Chick Hicks. So it's nice to watch him die. I don't know that. I think some other cars die in Cars 2 because it's a spy movie. But that's the most blatant death that I remember in Cars.
Mm-hmm. Chick Hicks is nasty.
He's a nasty piece of shit.
He
Yeah, I'll say it.
The ending of this movie is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you speak about it?
It's just, I mean, I think all movies should end with a race.
Yeah.
It's his whole squad is there. They all get like their moment in the sun. His pit crew, like, you know, they do it old school. And everyone, like the announcers, are the announcers like
it's,
NASCAR guys?
They're no, ESPN it's, guys.
They're
right?
ESPN guys?
Yeah. It's
they're real
Al
guys.
Michaels, so maybe one of them. It's football.
Yeah, announcers. There's a couple like real people in there. The Ferrari at the end is Michael Schumacher, which is very cool.
Oh, is Bob Costas in it too? Bob Cutlass.
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas.
Bob Cutlass.
Cutlass
is his car name.
Oh, like nice.
Cutlass Sierra. Hilarious.
Shane was watching sports one day. He's like, "What's Bob Cutlass doing on the Twitter?
Why are his eyes so red?"
Yeah. Mater taught him how to drive backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, the moment that got me is Lightning gives it all up.
He does to help a friend.
Yeah. Because it reminds him of his hero.
He learns to be selfless.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
The old timer, the hero, he crashes. And Lightning McQueen's going to win. He's going to win by a mile.
Yeah.
And he halts to a stop.
Yeah.
Right before the finish line. And he lets that dirty bastard, piece of shit motherfucker, Chick Hicks.
Yeah.
Win.
Yeah.
Because it's more important to go back for the old timer. And he says, what does it say?
Figure the king has to finish his last race.
Oh, come on. And he pushes him.
Should finish his last race.
I've just been pointing at my arm periodically because I'm getting jaded.
It's crazy. They're crazy goosebumps.
It's also
they're like very raised.
Well, there you go. Real ones.
Dude, it's all over you. Yeah. It's real.
It's that. There's like nothing. It's also just like, I'm not even giving credit to the writers of the film because nothing that happens in it is like, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
No.
Like him stopping the race to help like the old timer. It's like, yeah, sure. Screenwriting 101.
Yep.
Have him do a nice thing and sacrifice the glory.
Yeah.
There's nothing novel about it.
But
it just works.
It works so well.
I'm fine with movies just doing like what movies did from 1920 to 1970.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing that I always also look for in scripts or anything like that is fucking runners. And Guido constantly asking if he can do a pit stop.
Yeah.
And then
I think his only line is pit stop.
Pit stop. That's the only thing he knows in English.
Yeah.
Everything else is in Italian.
Yeah.
And then he finally gets to do one.
And he's incredible.
And he's incredible. Yeah. And I'm just like, yes, that's a fucking payoff. And that's all
it's like the announcers are like, that is a record.
Yeah.
And then does he do a little pistol twirl?
Yeah, he does it. Yeah.
And you have the other pit stop crew, their jaw drops, which
literally
is their
sashes fall off.
And then they love that bit so much that they do it twice. They cut back and then the last remaining jaw falls.
Yeah. I fucking love this movie.
It's great.
It's really good. Kelsey actually got me at some point at BuzzFeed a Cars. She got me a remote control Lightning McQueen at some point.
Wow.
And I think a little McQueen that I brought him just so we could see him here.
Oh, yeah. Ka-chow.
Sort of so
and that's him with the white tires.
Yeah. There was a line of little Hot Wheels versions where they're like classic cars. I don't even know what this is, but it's McQueen. You can tell. Love to see him. He looks beautiful.
Yeah, he's got that shiny paint.
Yeah.
Good. You know, speaking of Kelsey, so she hasn't seen this movie.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Really?
And she was really sad that she couldn't be here today. So I just asked, I haven't listened to this. I said, Kelsey, what do you think this movie's about? Garrick, did you listen to this?
I did not.
Okay. I'm very excited.
I don't know
to
if it's
this.
Funny. If it sucks, we'll just cut it out.
Yeah.
I think Cars is about I know he's red.
Okay.
And I think he's got a big dick compared to everyone else. Or no, he's got a little dick and he's got to prove that he has a big dick.
Oh.
So I think Red Car is on a hero's journey to get a big dick engine, vroom, vroom, go speed, fast, fast. And he's got to beat all the bad cars. And the bad cars are going to be like, I'm going to assume there's probably some racism in there and they're going to make all the bad cars like Asian manufactured cars. Oh. And then I'm going to say that they're going to be like, all America pickup truck, Corvettes, win things. That's what I think Cars is. The end. I think this also, just as an after that, I think this probably also opened up a weird sexual fetish for a lot of people about wanting to stick their dick in cars. Because I feel like I didn't realize that this wasn't about the people driving the cars. This was about cars being people. And you don't get that without some, you know, specific sexual fetishes. I also want to know if Garrick thinks that the cars are like accurately representing the type of personality that typically drives it. Thank you very much.
Interesting.
Wow. So Kelsey thinks that the cars are fuckable. I take umbrage. I think that Lightning McQueen, is big dick energy.
Yeah, he's a fuck machine. Yeah. Look at him. He like the way that he approaches the Porsche in the first place is just like, yeah, this happens all the time.
If I had an ounce of that confidence.
Yeah, it's sort of like a burned out rock star at the beginning. Like he's living in the fast lane.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got to slow down.
I'm shocked that they didn't have the song Laugh in the Fast Lane.
They should have.
Yeah.
Man, that soundtrack's so good. I really invite you guys to play it on your way home, but also many times after that. It's really good.
She wanted to know if the cars are accurately portrayed the personalities of the cars that they are.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think like there's a scene with all like the neon cars and like the big wing thing. There was also really nice detail with like the Fast and Furious cars that wake up Mac.
Yeah. Nasty.
They're pieces of shit. As they should be, because the type of people that mod their cars up to that level usually are absolute assholes. But there was a nice moment where they're all in sync. There's four cars. Three of them are like modded out like street cars or whatever. And then one of them is a hot rod. And they're all in sync as they're changing lanes. And the fourth one is having, the hot rod is having a hard time keeping up with them because hot rods can't turn that well.
Oh.
And I thought that was such a nice little detail.
That's good.
I
want to hear what other like interesting details you caught.
I wrote them all down.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Lightning McQueen doesn't wear his slick tires when he's driving around regularly because you definitely shouldn't wear slicks on the road.
What are slicks?
Without treads.
Oh.
So those are pure racing tires.
Mm-hmm. Racing tires don't have treads on them?
They have no treads.
How does that work?
It's just more rubber on the road, man. You don't need more. You don't need that gap anymore. You don't need, treads are for wicking water away from the center of the tire.
No kidding.
And so you're not driving on, or if you are on a wet circuit, they add treads to the tire, blah, blah, blah. That one was really good. The Euro versus NASCAR shit is like very hilarious and tense. And he's just like, you're not a Ferrari. Shut up. You're like, relax. Keep talking.
I will wait as long as I need. We will edit out silence.
Okay. While you're looking, I'd like to, I don't feel like, you know, to Kelsey's question, I don't know that people find the cars sexually attractive.
Speak for yourself, brother. I mean,
you know, follow your bliss. You know, there's definitely movies where people do like, you know, I feel like a lot of cartoons where people were like, that cartoon was one sexy, you know, like the Space Jam lady. People loved her.
Yeah. Lola Bunny. Of course, Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit, sure.
I mean, I just Googled Cars Pixar porn and...
Rule 32, man. There's...
Oh, this is vile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to see?
I don't think so. I'll take a peek.
This is a yellow car. I don't know if this is in the movie. And it has what appears to be a car. It's a car hole. And it's using a traffic cone.
Just a sec.
It's using a traffic cone to insert, you know, kind of as you would a...
Hey, honestly, that's not even that. Because it does just sort of look like a hole on a car. It is the sort of fluid leaking out of it that is the most vulgar thing about
that.
Yeah,
most of these are just cars mounting other cars.
Right.
But not really.
You can't really sex them up that much.
No, I mean, honestly, this is all pretty safe for work.
Yeah, that's Chick Hicks. Wait, is that McQueen and Hicks?
That's McQueen fucking Chick Hicks.
Well, he does in the movie, but in a more metaphorical
okay,
way.
Okay, finally here we have a car dick.
Okay.
It's not my favorite thing to look at.
All right, well...
You want me to pinch zoom?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's just sort of someone tacking human anatomy onto a car.
Second time in a couple of weeks that Zach has actively looked up porn on his phone during a recording of one of our shows.
It's the second time it's been cartoon porn.
Yeah.
It was Kirby before.
The first time made me think of it for the second time.
Kirby? Mm-hmm. The little...
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about like if Kirby could suck a knob, what that would be like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is just kind of pouring like gasoline all over itself, which you know what's going
on. Seems dangerous.
Yeah, he's peeing on himself.
Seems dangerous.
Back to the car things, the slick stuff, blah blah blah. And then there's also in racing in general, where they're always going for pit stops under a yellow flag, which is a very typical thing to to happen with crews and all that stuff because you want to, because there's a pace car out and they're holding the rest of traffic behind, right? So the rest of the race is behind you. So if you could beat the pace car out, you have a chance to race all the way around before the pace car gets to the finish line and catch up with them. So you almost get like a free lap if you free lap and a free pit stop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This movie is also a fascinating case for determinism. The idea that you are born into a role in life and you should fulfill it. Because if you are born a race car, you're a race car.
You got to be a race car.
If you're born a fire truck, you're a fire truck. If you're born a plane, you're a plane. And I would love to see the film about a little race car who wants to be a dancer. Yeah. A truck who wants to fly.
That would have solidified Cars as the greatest Pixar movie of all time. if Lightning McQueen did not want to be a race car and wanted to be something else, that would have made for a very interesting movie, but I also would have wanted to see this one.
Yeah.
Or perhaps another car that wanted to be a race car.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That would have been nice.
I feel like Cars 3 might touch on some of that, but I don't. I've only seen that one once, and I think it's really good.
Yeah.
If you're a police car, you're going to be a police officer. That's just doing. It. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
In fact, Doc is the only one who kind of breaks. He was a race car, and he said, I'm retired now. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Well, Tow Mater becomes a spy in the second one.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is very Mater heavy, which is honestly kind of good.
Yeah. Because they wanted to sell,
like
that
we said,
tow truck.
He's good in the first one. He's always funny.
Oh, I also wanted to know the rusty cars.
Yeah, that's concerning classist, to think about. Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's concerning because
he doesn't like. Yeah, he doesn't like rust old cars, rusty cars, blah blah blah. Yeah. I was gonna say unhoused cars.
Well, at first it seemed like a hemorrhoid cream commercial where it's like, if you're rusty, rub this on and you'll be fine. But then like the way that he looked at them, they're like, they're hicks.
Yeah. And the way they
I
never thought about the angle of like body modification. You know, we talked about the Cronenbergian elements of it before, but that's a whole other thing. The way they can just swap out parts of themselves so we're getting into some weird stuff with it.
Getting weird.
That's why I love the movie.
With Cars, I'm guessing that organ transplants would be a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
Because, it's just a bolt or something like that, a couple bolts and you put it on.
My biggest takeaway from this film is that I love it at face value. You know, I love this story about this wonderful car and his friends that he makes. And I also love that it poses all these. If you're a person who wants to dig in and figure out what the implications of it are, great. When people are like, but what is all this then? What is that? I'm like, do you not like to think?
That's the fun to be had.
It's fun to think about stuff.
What about, I posit this, I bet you that the black market in this world is crazy. Yeah. They're probably
kidnapping
people, stealing their body parts.
Yeah.
Because like even now looking for car parts, it's just Facebook groups or Craigslist and all that stuff. It's probably, all of that.
But now imagine if you were to get a car part, you had to tear someone else's body apart.
Or take it from a dead body.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think about the rust. Because, again, in Cars 3, Doc is dead. He has died.
Oh.
He's dead.
Oh, Doc.
Very grim. That was one of the grimmest Pixar trailers that I've ever seen.
It's stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really the Cars 3 trailer, if you've never seen it, it goes so fucking hard.
Yeah, for no reason at all.
None.
It's just great, though.
Did you guys see that one in theaters? It was good.
The trailer.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen the movie.
Oh, I haven't
you
seen
haven't
it.
Seen the movie?
I've never seen
it.
I've only seen Cars once.
Oh, my God.
The second time I've dipped into the Cars-verse.
Well, look, if people like this episode and you guys do want to talk more Cars, I'm happy to cover the trilogy with you.
The last point that I don't have to dive into is that there's a little bit of like pre-MAGA pining for what America used to be with Radiator Springs.
And if that turns people off, I'm like, I get it.
But
I think it's innocuous enough that it feels more like, hey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it nice?
Aren't these cute little towns cute?
I think that's, you know? I accept it.
That's what I look at it as. Because I've also been, as I'm driving through these like weird towns and all of that stuff, I'm like, this is very nice. This seems like a nice scenic place. to like lay your head and all that stuff. But everybody there is racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sucks. But it's just like, it's still pretty to look at, you know?
And it seems like they got as close as they could to racism
without racism.
They were like, all the people in this town are a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
Or the cars in this town.
But they weren't like, no other cars here. They were,
they were very inviting.
For the love of God, can there be more cars here?
They said, we want more cars, and also we have one representative from every race. Yes.
They were racist against race cars, essentially.
Oh, yeah,
they were racist.
There it is.
They were racist.
I got some fun facts.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, one more that will break your mind. So Bessie, who is the Rove Pavement Machine, They give a name to this road pavement machine. Every time the road pavement machine Bessie spits out the car, you know, spits out tar, does it twice in the film, she makes laughing sounds.
Really?
Indicating that Bessie may possess some limited intelligence despite not having visible eyes, which that's the thinker.
That's freaky.
What? No. I don't believe that.
I'm going to go home and watch this clip now just because I want to hear her laugh.
This is according to IMDb Facts. I have not vetted.
Okay.
I never will.
IMDb Facts are usually pretty on the level.
I believe them. I've been saying it in every episode.
And it's not a Mater laugh. It's not a sneaky little Mater laugh, sort of a hee hee hee.
But like, what is that? Is that like a fucking like end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest where they scramble Bessie's brains and then have her maybe those as a are, slave and
maybe they're like the trees of car like trees are alive
but they don't laugh.
no they don't. It's a lot to think even about. Animals to think don't about laugh. what a joy.
So early drafts were of course different. You know, the original idea for this film was to be about an electric car living in a gas guzzling world.
Mm-hmm.
Too much
don't
Pixar
like it.
Doesn't no I like it I like it, and hopefully maybe we can go there in the future. I can't remember if Cars 3 might actually cover some of that.
An electric car
I think
comes
it does.
In and like is quicker than him.
Yeah, but I can't remember what the takeaway is there. But
the takeaway is that fossil fuels are pretty cool.
No, I think it ends up, God, I got to revisit that, and I hope we do. But that's a little too heady for Cars 1.
Yeah. Yeah, we just want to see Vroom
just
Vroom.
Just bank ka-chow. On Route 66 and nostalgia.
There was also an early draft that had Doc Hudson having a heart attack and having to be jump-started by Sarge.
That's a little messed up.
Yeah.
It's a little dark.
Yeah. That's
a lot.
A heart attack.
For just a car joke, essentially.
Yeah.
That's like too much
a
for a car joke.
Traumatic for a honk honk.
Yeah.
I can see them executing it in a way that isn't immediately apparent as a heart attack. Like, you know, like him kind of like sputtering out and then like jumping him. You're like, he's an old car. And then like, as you're driving home, you're like, oh shit, that was kind of like a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But as a plot point,
it's a lot.
It's like, how do you even depict that? It's so dark.
But I mean, they kind of have that with the cop car, I keep on forgetting his name, backfiring when he's chasing him and he thinks that he's getting shot at, which also implies that there are guns in this world.
Car guns.
Whoa, you're right.
Well, there's guns in cars too.
Fuck. And also implies that cops are pieces of shit in this universe too.
We'll just shoot at people who they're trying to...
Probably the most realistic part of this movie.
Yeah, honestly.
We also didn't talk about how the topography in this film is also cars. The mountains.
The mountains are like
are cars.
Big engine blocks. Is that what you would call them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just...
And the clouds, tire tracks.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my brain is melting.
They're beautiful.
So detailed. It's like if you look around, there's a car joke everywhere, and it's fantastic.
Also, a quick little nod at the beginning when it's showing the highway and Life is a Highway is playing, obviously. They track past the phone wires, and they're actual birds. They show the birds from the Pixar short where all the birds are on the wire.
Yeah.
They'd always work their little short nods into the early Pixar. I don't know if they still do that, but...
Real birds in the Pixar
world. I guess there's real birds in the car world?
Well, that's because birds come from dinosaurs.
Sure.
And I guess there were dinosaurs in this world?
The dinosaurs wouldn't have been dino cars because we didn't evolve from dinosaurs.
Right.
No.
They would just be dinosaurs.
They would be dinosaurs.
Cars have tongues, though.
Cars have people. Big tongues.
Big tongues.
Big tongues. So Paul Newman, the great.
Yeah.
I think this may, it was either his last role or in the final three. It's his highest grossing film, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But
what an insult.
Yeah, well, a great career. But he considers his performance as Doc to be the best that he had done since The Verdict in 1982.
Because
Paul Newman loves this performance.
Wow. Because you can't take it away from the king. You know, you can't like disagree with his logic. He's been in most movies.
Yeah.
So you know that the man knows quality. So if Paul Newman says that Cars is his best work, fucking listen to him.
He's right.
Who are you? Who are you to say that? Who are you to deny the great Paul Newman?
And he was a big racer, right?
Yeah.
He's a big racer.
So this probably, I mean, he's a
phenomenal actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hattie McHatterson and makes a mean Pink Lemonade.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Newman's
it is.
Own. Have you guys?
Did you know that a Paul Newman Daytona is the highest sold watch of all time?
Really?
Yeah. The resale of it.
I want it.
How much is it?
I don't remember.
The most expensive, you mean?
The most expensive, yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Somebody resold it for.
Wait, so did he own it?
I believe he owned it.
Wow.
I.
Dreamy guy.
Need you all, dear listeners, Google Paul Newman Young.
Ugh.
And tell me that is not the most gorgeous man you have ever laid eyes on.
Yeah, incredible.
Well, now's the time we must decide, is this film a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? This is your chance to tell people why they should or should not watch this film.
I think it's a pleasure. It's a great movie. It's a great story. If you can put aside your reservations about what the world means and just accept that, look, this is a movie for babies that happens to be really good. It's really fun. The soundtrack whips ass. It's great. It's a good movie. It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure.
It is a pleasure from the details alone.
Yeah.
From someone that is watching from a car perspective or like looking for different car things and references, I found too many. If you just go through and just like make a list, you'd be like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. None of this really had to be in there, but it was. So that level of care in a movie is what makes it a pleasure for me.
It's not my favorite Pixar film. It's not in my top five. It may not even be in my top 10, but gosh darn, folks, it's a P.
Yeah.
It's just delightful.
Yeah.
It's a P. And you know what? I really just have one thing to say, and that is ka-chow.
Exactly right.
Beautiful. We didn't do nearly enough Owen Wilson impressions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
Frow. Also, like, way to go, Owen Wilson. Get that purse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Get paid,
this
buddy.
This is probably his highest grossing as well.
There was a while where he wasn't
not
in movies.
Not the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
There was a while where he wasn't in movies for a bit, and I was like, I hope he's okay. And then I was like, he's in all three Cars movies.
He's fine.
He's fine.
He was just in Loki also.
I know, yeah. Well, when he came back for Loki, I was like, good to see Wilson. I hope he's been all right.
Oh, he's been chilling on that
He's got
money.
That McQueen cash.
Yeah.
Also, he's a phenomenal writer. He co-wrote a lot of the Wes Anderson movies.
Oh, yeah, because he is on those, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Well, Shane, fucking what are you working on, man? Anything you want to promote? I mean, is Puppet History coming back?
Puppet History is tough to bring back because the host is dead.
Right.
But we Are You Scared is going on Watcher right now, a fun show where we read spooky stories. And we're currently shooting Ghost Files, which is our ghost hunting show that is premiering this fall.
Very exciting.
We went to Alcatraz recently, which is crazy. I can't believe they let us go there.
Wow.
We're going all over the place. So if you haven't been over to youtube.com/watcher, that's where it's all happening.
I assume if you're listening, you're subscribed. But yeah, you guys,
you never
the know. Quality of content, it's some damn good
it's
stuff.
It's fantastic.
We're having fun.
You got a little Professor... pop socket on your phone.
Yes, I do.
Oh, you got him? Oh,
yeah.
The little guy. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, I miss him.
Love
yeah.
him to death.
Yeah, so you're not going to get like a replacement host or...
We're auditioning people right now, but we'll, you know,
I guess it's rude of me to even ask. It's too hard soon. I mean, it's like
hard to find little blue sort of creatures.
Yeah. Shane, where can the people find you?
Shane Madej on Twitter, on Instagram. That's it, I think. I'm on TikTok too somewhere. I don't really post on there, but I am the king of TikTok, so you'll find me.
I'm at Gordon in all things.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all the things.
Until next time, life is a highway. Yeah. I want to ride it all night long.
Gimme, 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 gimme.